with a very special edition of the Great Debates podcast. Today, micro debates. Oh my God, three topics, 4 minutes each, rapid fire, hurry up offense. We're going to start right into it. Topic number one. Healy's going to take the affirmative side of, we will find the plane.
Okay, we're talking about the missing.
We all know what we're talking about. We don't have time.
It's somewhere deep in the bottom of the Indian Ocean. We know that. We actually have a lot of information about where it probably is. It's in very, very deep water. We're fairly certain of that. The Australian Navy is looking for it. And listen, humans have faced all kinds of incredible obstacles, and they've come up with amazing technology to find it. This is a massive machine that either broke apart into pieces, which we will find slowly, but more likely we'll find a big chunk of it at the bottom of the ocean. As sonar technology and detection technology improves, as human innovation gets better and better, we'll find that plane. We'll at least know where it is.
There are hundreds of thousands of ships, planes, vehicles of all kinds that are at the bottom of the ocean that no one is able to locate.
No one's bothering to locate.
That's not true. And please don't interrupt me during my opening statement, Healy.
I thought it was immediate free skating.
I don't know. We didn't decide. But okay. The point is that this plane, as big as you think the ocean is,
yeah,
it's bigger than that.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's enormous.
Yeah. Already know roughly where the plane is because we have fairly good information, radar information tracking it.
We're being told that we have some decent information about where the plane is. That doesn't mean that they actually have good information about it.
There's a lot of monitoring that goes on in international airplane flights. We have pretty good info on where the plane is. There's been a lot of miscommunication, and there's possibly stuff they aren't telling us for various reasons, but we have fairly good information about where the plane is.
If you don't find something, anything, in the first 24 hours after it's lost, chances are you're not going to find that thing. And that goes for a pair of sunglasses just as it does for Amelia Earhart.
True in your house, not true of a giant plane. And also, thanks for bringing up Amelia Earhart, because it appears, as was in the news this week, that we have found the location of her plane some 70 years after it went missing.
We believe that we found possibly a part of her plane.
Yeah.
We do not know where her plane is.
It's very strong evidence, and we'll no doubt, now that we've been able to narrow down and get some strong evidence, we'll find even more of it. I mean, and it took 70 years, took a long time, but we're getting there. And that's what will happen with this plane, too. We may not find it today, we may not find it tomorrow, we'll find it.
By the time we develop the technology to find this plane, because we need to cover so many hundreds of thousands of square miles of ocean.
Hold on, let me. Some technology is developing so rapidly, it's almost incalculable. You know that's true. You know we're getting so much better, so much faster. When I went to college, we didn't have the internet. By the time
that's not true.
10 years from now, we're gonna have.
Why are you lying about?
I personally didn't have the internet in my house until I got to college.
Okay,
but in 10 years,
that's on you. That's on Mr. and Mrs. Healy.
10 years from now, we'll definitely have something that will enable us to find that plane if we haven't found it by then.
If we haven't found it by then, which we won't, we may develop the technology, but that doesn't mean the technology we have will be able to definitely find what amounts to a tiny, tiny little speck of metal in an unimaginably large span of water.
We need to stop attributing the whole ocean as our search radius. That's not, we know.
I'm not healing. I'm talking about even if you take one pixel on a map equal to the size of your computer screen and say, like, we know it's in this pixel. You still have trillions of gallons of cubic feet of water to examine. It's not, I'm not so naive as to think that they need to look in the whole ocean, but I'm smart enough to know that even a tiny fraction of the ocean is enormous.
When they found the Titanic, people were astounded. They couldn't believe what an accomplishment it was. And now, even Dr. Ballard would say, compared to what we have available now, relatively simple challenge. We'll find that plane, but just because human technology develops rapidly, oceanographic technology may be the last frontier, but we're making leaps and bounds in our science. James Cameron's going to get on the problem. We're going
to
have that.
I got to say really quickly, the reason we're not going to find the plane is that what happened to the plane, my theory, is that it kept going up.
To heaven.
Yes.
You and Sarah Palin's theory.
Okay, time's up. On to the next topic.
Next debate.
Okay, micro debate topic number two. Dave's going to take the pro. Ice cream is the best.
There's nothing better than ice cream. If you've ever had one taste of the best, of your favorite flavor, I'll go better. Take your fourth favorite flavor of ice cream and just imagine it in your mouth right now. Just the thought alone is setting off pleasure receptors, serotonin, dopamine. It relieves stress. Just the thought of eating ice cream is making me so happy right now that I'm going to incorporate this as a meditative technique in my everyday life. Healy, that's my opening statement.
You done? Keep
yeah,
going.
I don't
you
care.
Have as much time as you want. I really want you
I
to
don't
like,
need
get
more time.
All your arguments out.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? You're at the end. You're just going to surprise us by going like, "Sex is the best. I win."
Well, let's. I'll even take sex off the table. Accomplishment, falling in love, a funny movie.
None of these are as good as
really
ice cream.
All of these are better than coffee, ice cream, my fourth flavor of ice cream.
All of the things you're listing come with complications. Love, falling in love,
yeah,
is a complicated act. It's okay. Not as good as ice cream. Ice cream isn't going to break up with you. Ice cream isn't going to break your heart, Healy.
Am I at the comic strip in 1994? What is listening to Caroline Ray? What is this? What are you doing?
I'm not trying to be funny, Healy. I'm trying to educate people about the beauty and the simplicity and the bestness.
No one needs to be educated about ice cream.
That's,
everybody
you're
knows
exactly
about
right.
It.
Everyone knows it's the best already.
Everybody knows they like it. It's a nice treat to have every once in a while. It's not as nice as walking with your lover on a summer's morning. It's not as nice as waking up in your bed next to your loving dog.
It's as good it's as it as, can be, Healy.
It's not as
Healy.
Nice as a hike.
Would you rather, let me ask you this. Would you rather be walking hand in hand with a friend or walking hand in hand with a friend and eating ice cream? Would you rather wake up next to your dog or wake up next to your dog and your dog has already
That's
scooped
gross.
You out
You've
two scoops of Baskin Robbins mint chocolate chip and a waffle cone?
Dave, you know this is a silly argument. You're doing the stuff you do when you have a silly argument, which is yell and sort of like go to some
I
kind of fun
Healy,
comedy.
I can be as quiet and rational as you want me.
Do you really think ice cream is the best? You
I
think
really
it's better
do.
Better than a soothing massage, a trip to Las Vegas
with absolutely.
Your friends, reading a good book, the feel of firing a gun, seeing the guy you like get elected president.
Yes, absolutely.
Healy,
pizza,
a soothing massage.
Root beer.
Regular beer.
Man. I mean,
marijuana.
Healy, if you're, I mean, you're picking terrible examples. A lot of people dislike the taste of root beer, myself included. A lot of people find the interaction of a massage to be complicated. A lot of times you have to wash a new shirt before you drink it. Sometimes a girl's winking at you because she's fucking with you and she's just playing with
Chinese
your emotions.
Food.
A lot of times Chinese food
Tacos.
Makes you sick. It doesn't feel good. Tacos aren't always good. Sometimes they burn the meat. Sometimes the quality of the meat is inferior. You don't even
Sometimes
know what you're eating.
Ice cream's terrible. What about when it's freezer burned and bad? Are you saying all ice cream is the best?
Not at
Some
all.
Ice cream
I'm saying
best.
Ice cream is the best. I'm saying there's nothing better than ice cream. What else do you want in your life? Get over yourself.
If you could have ice cream but you lose sex, would you do that? If you could have ice cream but you lose books, would you do that? If you could have ice cream but you lose music, would you do that? No.
I'll take ice cream over music, but
You would take ice cream over
music? Yeah, probably. I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's just weird eccentricity.
Well, I have to, Healy.
Would you take ice cream over sports?
Healy, I'll take ice cream over anything for the purposes. I'm
not.
I have it on. It's on in the background. You don't see me going over there, glance to look at it every 6 minutes.
Yeah, just because debate with
friends. All I'm thinking about is getting mint chocolate chip ice cream for Baskin Robbins. All I'm thinking about is going down to Ramekin and seeing what flavors they have. Healy, you have no idea how much I eat ice cream. I try not to eat ice cream that often because I'm fat.
Oh, so ice cream itself has complications.
That's not what I'm saying.
I mean, it comes with its own negative.
Well, ice cream...
Sex with someone you love is all good.
That's not necessarily true. What if you have an unwanted pregnancy? Which would you rather have? An unwanted pregnancy or a little extra room in your tummy?
Next debate.
Whew.
Okay, topic number three in our series of micro debates. We're going to close the day out. Dave's going to take the pro side again. Are you ready? Things would be better if our balls were... The topic, things would be better if our balls were inside.
I can't believe you wanted to take the other side of this.
Yeah.
Our balls are itchy. They get in the way of sexual activity often. They're cumbersome.
Get in the way? You're doing it wrong.
Healy, they can, yes, can they be a source of pleasure? Obviously. But just because they're on the inside doesn't mean they can't be a source of pleasure as well once we put them inside. It would be, just architecturally speaking, there's no reason not to move them inside if we could and still have efficient sperm. It just eliminates itchiness. It eliminates discomfort.
who knows what kinds of new problems would be created by having our balls inside our body. Our balls are outside of our body because evolution follows patterns towards efficiency of survival of the species. It's left us with balls outside our body, which is kind of fun. You can play with them or whatever. It's kind of neat. You see them jiggling around. Look, you know, is having balls outside your body a nuisance sometimes? Sure, but it regulates the temperature of your sperm, which is very advantageous, in fact, necessary for human survival. And we just don't know what would happen if your balls were inside your body. Any number of crazy disasters could happen.
You're arguing one of the most common misconceptions of evolution, which is that anything that has evolved on the human body is by definition perfect or flawless or
I didn't say perfect
or optimally designed for procreation. This is not necessarily the case. Evolution is simply the product of some mutations which became more popular over time. It doesn't mean that they were the ideal mutations. Yes, we evolved to have testicles on the outside of our body to regulate the temperature. That doesn't mean that we couldn't be more efficient with testicles in other parts of our body if one of our common ancestors had a different mutation. You haven't even listened to where I'm proposing that the testicles go.
Where should they go?
Under your jaw.
What?
What I'm proposing is that your testicles go under your jaw, just below the skin of your neck,
okay,
in such a way that more attention would be drawn to the bottom half of your face.
Oh, like a booby or frigate bird, like that has a bulging neck.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Imagine for a second that all men had two. And by the way, I'm not. Don't picture.
Okay. Well, I have to get all new shirts first of all.
No. I'm sorry. I'm not describing it correctly. Don't picture sagging testicles hanging down from your neck. That's not what I'm describing.
Okay.
I want you to picture, basically, if you could push your lymph nodes to the side a bit and put your gonads sort of on either side of your throat.
Yeah, and make it harder to breathe. Your neck would be, injured your neck at all, your balls would get fucked up.
Your neck is one.
Your balls, don't forget, your balls are in this great, they're essentially in a cave. They're in this protective area.
Your balls are in an incredibly vulnerable position. They're hanging, distended, freestanding from the rest of your body. They're very easy, for example, for a wild animal to attack or for a sports injury to occur. We have tens of thousands of sports injuries which occur every year, which result in men being sterile or having problems with their testes,
okay,
to the point where
this argument right here, if the balls were inside the body, America's Funniest Home Videos would lose, which we all know is the funniest show on television, would lose one of its number one.
Have you ever seen a guy get hit in the throat? Now imagine that's funny on its own.
No, that's awful.
Now imagine his balls were
that's
there.
That's awful. You gasp for air. Like getting hit in your balls is funny because it's painful, but like you're going to be fine. That's why we laugh at a dad getting hit in the ball by his son's
This is a frivolous side argument. I'm perfectly willing to give up the comedy of America's Funniest Home Videos if I don't have to scratch my balls as often as I do.
You know, what makes you think you're not going to be itchy?
You're not listening to the design that I'm suggesting.
We're in a necktie squeezing your balls.
They're not going to hang low. Are you even listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're on the side of your throat. Okay, guys, vote for whoever you think prevailed overall in the micro debates.
Yes, all you have to do is, all either of you has had to have done today is win 2 out of 3 of the debates. Or you could argue that if you won 60% maybe of 3 debates.
That's interesting as a total. Sure. Can I also, I just want to add a final thought, which is to remind our viewers that the opinions expressed by the debaters do not necessarily reflect the opinions held by the debaters, which is to say that even though we're saying these things, we don't necessarily believe them. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, it's The Great Debates, and we're back with another edition of Micro Debates.
Yes.
You asked, you got it. Ask and ye shall receive, listeners.
3 topics today, 4 minutes each. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, you got the timer going?
Yeah. And I think we should say also, Steve, you're going to take the pro on each of these. Is that correct?
The pro on everyone.
Okay. So, Medina, what's the first topic?
Okay. Topic number one, get the timer ready.
Yep.
It's okay to lie to a taxi driver.
Yeah, Uber. We agreed before the debate that Uber driver is also included in this topic. Yeah, I think you're a girl. You're driving home late at night. The Uber driver is like, do you live here? You say, no, my boyfriend's inside. You're lying to protect yourself because the guy creeps you out. What would be wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong? Sure. What's wrong with the little lie? What's wrong with the big lie? What's wrong with taking the law into your own hands? What's wrong with saying, you know, I know better than other people when it's okay to lie and when it's okay to not lie? What's wrong with saying?
You're just like moral absolution. That's your case on this, that you can't ever.
A little bit. That's right.
To lying.
I think
in
your
case. Have you ever told a lie, Dave?
Of course.
Why? Because save someone's feelings.
Because I'm a bad person.
Yourself.
Because I'm a bad person.
Probably
and I shouldn't
for a reason
have.
Like that. Probably because you weighed the situation and you realized the moral cost of lying was smaller than the, say, physical harm to yourself or the offense you'd give somebody else. So you made that moral decision, and I'm sure you made the right one because you're a good guy.
You're absolutely wrong. Every time I've lied in the past, it was a mistake. I did the wrong thing. I regretted it later. The truth is always better than a lie, even the smallest lies.
Have you ever lied to me?
I'm sure I have. I mean, Healy, we started a debate about, I would say this was a lie of omission, but I agreed to debate you on whether Forrest Gump was a good movie or not, and I never told you that I hadn't even seen the movie.
That wasn't a lie. I mean, that was fun.
That was fun, but if you had asked me, have you seen Forrest Gump, I would have been like, yeah, sure. But well, I hadn't.
Yeah, sure wouldn't have been a lie, I don't think. Yeah, sure implies I've seen more than half of it.
Healy... Why not? What's wrong with pure anarchy, right? If people have a better.
You're going from lying to an Uber driver to pure anarchy.
Yes, I am.
Look, I think these services rely on a certain amount of trust, but because of that trust, you let these people into your lives in a way that may be uncomfortable or even unsafe. And in those circumstances, it's perfectly okay to lie to them.
Healy, what's wrong with just. Did you see the. What's it called? The invention of lying?
No, I heard it was cool.
Well, there was one. I had one basic issue with it, which is that people they confused telling the truth with oversharing every detail of your life. Hmm. Like, you don't have to tell. For example, put yourself in. Go ahead. You be the Uber driver. Ask, and I'll be a scared woman. And ask me if this is where you live.
You live. This is where you live. You live here.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I gotta run.
You live here.
You're definitely getting
this
five
is your
stars.
House.
Bye, and I'm out the door already.
Yeah, I mean, I agree if you're dexterous enough to handle that, but if you tell a lie...
Well, be dexterous. Then my argument is be dexterous.
Well, look, we'd all love to be dexterous, but we can't be dexterous all the time. Also, by the way, I think you can lie to an Uber driver just for kicks. You want to try out a new persona, a new personality, a new background. You want to see how it feels to say you're from Omaha and that you're a professional dancer.
What fun.
Who cares?
Oh, and why can't an Uber driver lie to you, right? If it's okay, he can?
Yeah. I mean, about stuff that's not going to affect my ride.
Oh, yeah, this is the shortest route. I'm taking you on the shortest route. Don't worry about it.
The
rules have changed now.
The lie
there
isn't the crime. The lie is that he's defrauding me. He's infraudulating me.
The rules are it's okay to lie to people, but you can't commit fraud. Is that correct?
I think that stealing from somebody is wrong. Lying to somebody in some circumstances is fine.
What are other circumstances where it's okay to lie to somebody?
Somebody's like, did you like my apple crumble? I loved it.
Ask me if you...
Dave, did you like my apple crumble?
I didn't love it, but
you fucking asshole. It took me 3 days to make that. I peeled all the apples. You know what? Fuck you. You're not invited to dinner again. And you know what? I'm mad we're even friends.
Okay, so
you need a haircut.
And by telling the truth here, we learned that this person that you're playing has a rage problem.
The debate is the debate.
Okay, on to the second debate.
This is an example of clearing my throat, Steve.
Thank you.
Topic number two for today. 4 minutes. Steve Healy taking the pro. One person that one of us makes physical contact with will set foot on Mars.
Okay, we've probably made physical contact with 10,000 people time.
Crazy proclamation right out of the gate.
Including a lot of, you know, celebrities and dignified people and so forth, people who will probably be on the list for the Mars
mission.
Can we set
the ground rules? We're talking about the three of us, me, you, and Medina, right?
Okay,
collectively,
sure.
The number of people
if we're including Medina, then I'm upping the number to 17,000.
I mean, I think it's safe to say Medina has touched more people than you and I combined.
I don't know. I mean, we lived in New York, where you just like brush a lot of people in the subway.
That's a great point. That's a great point, Haley. Okay, let's get to the meat of the argument.
Okay, so I think that we will go to Mars in our lifetime. I think that's pretty certain. Once we've opened that door, a lot of people are going to go to Mars. It's going to become a vacation spot. It's maybe become a spot for exploration. I mean, that's the next cool vacation spot. Probably within, I would guess, 30 years. It seems unreasonable now, but in 1930, it would have seemed insane. 1938, it would have seemed insane to walk on the moon, and we did it.
That's a great point. I'm glad you brought up the moon. Healy, the rate of space exploration is simply not as progressive as we wish it were. In 1938, it did seem absolutely absurd that we would walk on the moon, and 35 years later, like 12 people had walked on the moon, and that was it. And we didn't go back, and there's nobody walking on the moon today. And that's what's going to happen with Mars.
Okay, eventually we'll send physical contact with one of the people who walked on the moon, Buzz Aldrin. So I assume it'll be similar with Mars.
Fuck. That's, I got to say, Healy.
There's 12 people who walked on the moon. I've touched one of them.
But that's only because you touched them after the fact. That person became more accessible to you because they walked on the moon and you ended up...
We will make physical contact with someone who will set foot on Mars.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is the people who walk on Mars will then become famous, and there will only be a small number of them, similar to the number of men who walked on the moon.
I'm going to be psyched to meet those people.
Yeah, but you're going to be 80 by the time these people are famous.
I'll be 80 and a U.S. senator. I'll meet these guys.
I mean, that's putting a lot on you being elected to the U.S. Senate and also staying in the Senate until you're 80.
Who knows? The Mars Council.
Okay, so if you believe...
Maybe I'll be on the National Council of Mars Arts.
If you believe that Healy will be elected to the National Council of Mars Arts when he's 80 years old,
right,
then, yeah, there's a good chance that you'll make physical contact with someone who will...
Or Dan Medina. I could see any of that happening.
You could see me being elected to the National Council
of
Mars Arts.
Absolutely. I think you'd be a great voice on the Mars Council.
I think the best case the problem is that we're making contact with people who are our age. We're not out there touching babies. To make this happen, you would have to go across the country. The person who has the best chance right now to do this is like someone who works in a maternity ward at a hospital.
I disagree. That's a deep but not wide sample. I think we're getting the people that move to LA. It's actors, celebrities. We meet all kinds of interesting people. It's really cool. We're lucky to have that in our
life. I understand that, but Healy, we're not going to be rubbing elbows with Mars astronauts when we're of the age when people are walking on Mars.
Why not?
Because it's going to take too long. How old are you? You're already 34, right?
Yeah.
And so when are we going to walk on Mars? It's going to take another 20 years, right? You said yourself 20, 30?
55, 60. I could see myself going to Mars.
Healy, you're dried up by then. You're nothing.
What do you mean I'm dried up by then?
You're retired and living
in... By the way, as we pick people to go to Mars, I think we should get people of that age and wisdom and experience. And, you know, they've lived a full life. If they die in the Mars mission, a lot of people are going to die. It's going to be very dangerous. To get a 55-year-old guy is cool. He's willing to put himself up for the sacrifice.
Are you volunteering for the Mars mission in the year 2035?
Yes, I preemptively volunteer.
You volunteer as tribute.
I volunteer as tribute. as Mars tribute.
That would be, Healy, if you really wanted to win this debate, that would be the way to win, is because Medina and I have both made physical contact with you. And if you were to go to Mars, wow, debate is over.
Ladies and gentlemen, topic number 3 for today. Denzel could play Steve Jobs in a movie and get away with it.
Which Denzel are we talking about?
Denzel Washington.
Oh, okay.
Denzel Washington. Okay. He's one of the great actors of our time.
Sure, he's
fine. I think we've made a lot of progress in terms of racial openness and experimentation, and hopefully we'll continue to make more. I think it would be a very bold move for Denzel to be, I want to play this famous white hero, Steve Jobs, and I'm going to do it. I think people would be like, that is an audacious, brassy move, and I love it. I can't wait to see that. These guys were both driven. They were both focused. They were both intense. They were both hypnotic. They were both powerful. They were both eloquent. Why can't Denzel play Steve Jobs in a movie?
The answer is Denzel can play Steve Jobs in a movie, and it actually might be a great movie. And he actually could, in some ways, get away with it. But what I would argue is that once Denzel plays Steve Jobs, he is no longer playing Steve Jobs. In the same way that a film like I'm Not There. We had a young African-American boy who played a version of Bob Dylan, but he was not actually playing Bob Dylan. In fact, they changed the character's name, and I think that was, I don't know if you saw the movie, but basically.
Of course, I've seen it a couple times.
I loved it.
I love that movie.
He plays like.
What a great way to bring Bob Dylan to life.
Okay, but my point is that he was no longer playing Bob Dylan. He was playing a character of a different name. He was playing one of the lives within Bob Dylan.
I'm going to go ahead and rule out those kind of movies. I'm talking about a very straightforward, literal biopic where Steve Jobs plays a character named Steve Jobs, who is the CEO of Apple, and there's a Wozniak. Maybe Kevin Hart could play Wozniak.
Well, the audience is from jump. The audience
you don't
is
want
simply
to see
not on
Steve
board.
Jobs and Kevin Wozniak.
I'm not saying I don't want
Denzel.
To see it. It would be interesting, but he couldn't get away with it.
What do you mean he couldn't?
The
get
same
away
way
with it?
That Christian Bale couldn't get away with playing Malcolm
How
X.
How are we defining getting away with it?
Convincing the audience, making the audience believe that he's
having
was
the audience
Steve
go
Jobs.
Along on the ride that Denzel is Steve Jobs. Yes,
no,
they
I would
totally be into that.
Well, now we're arguing about semantics, but I would think that getting away with it means that like. Here's what I would say, that someone who goes to see this movie, the first thing they say when they leave the movie is not, I kind of didn't buy that Denzel Washington was Steve Jobs because he's a black guy.
But here's what you're going to hear leaving that theater.
Yeah.
Amazing. Denzel Washington did a fantastic job as Steve Jobs. That showed me new possibilities in cinema and representation. Another leap forward by this profoundly great actor.
And then the second thing you would hear is someone going, he didn't get away with it.
And then all those people jump down that person's throat because they're like, that was a fucking great movie. You're just being racist. You don't like that. You didn't think that was cool.
Well, just I would argue that person's in this hypothetical movie review. He's not being racist.
It's a group
he's
of
just
friends
being,
went
he was
to
just
see
saying what he actually believed.
Yeah, but he's being a bit of a fun fucker.
Okay, but here's my problem. Remember the scene where Denzel Washington is. We see his biological parents.
Why that scene is not? That's not the. That, maybe that's
white
in the movie.
And then okay. The audience they is like, he didn't pull it up. It doesn't make sense. Well, let's call it
Steve
not
Jobs,
black.
In a way, he was a person of color.
Well, sure. We're all people. I mean, I'm a person of color to a certain extent, but you would never have an African American person claiming a biopic because they couldn't get away with it.
What do you mean they couldn't get away with it? I think they do. They do a good job. They show the emotional truth of what you're like. Then we can buy into
the problem. The problem isn't that they would be not. Obviously, it's not that they're not capable as actors or anything like that. It's that the audience is going to have to get over the basic idea that they look different than the person.
It's so sad how much you're underestimating the racial openness of the
It American is sad, people. Healy. I'm not saying it's not sad. It's very sad. It says a lot about us as humans, about us as animals, that race means so much to us on a visual level, on a very basic movie-going level.
Denzel is
level.
Not a pilot, but he plays a pilot, and it's awesome.
Yeah, but he looks like a pilot, Healy. It's absurd to equate the two. And thus ends micro-debates.
Great micro-debates.
Nice job, guys. Hey, you can find us online, greatdebate69.com, on Twitter, @greatdebate69, and you can email us, greatdebate69@gmail.com. Please do reach out.
Medeans, what did you think of the micros?
Okay, here's what I thought. Let's see. I think Dave might have won the taxi driver thing just by moral authority.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's a sucky vote.
That's generous.
Healy, your enthusiasm and confidence about not only your political career and our technological future makes me think that you might have won the Mars debate.
Confidence wins debates.
That's I think that's what it learning. Comes down to, because I think you might have won Denzel, too.
Thank you. I actually would love to see that film.
No,
I think Dave would, too.
In full candor, of course I would, yeah, but, you know.
Let's
hey.
Go see it together.
Let's, hey.
Agreed.
Let's go write it together.
Hey.
We can't. They're already making two Steve Jobs biopics.
This could be the number three in the trilogy.
Yeah, something. All right, thanks, everyone, for listening.